Welcome, everybody, to episode 302 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 24th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by, what are you calling yourself this week, John?
John.
Okay, well, I'm joined by John.
Hi.
John the Third, John Cube, John Square, J Trip, Triple J, whatever. but the important thing is to note that he's my co-host.
Hello.
So, yes. Hello, John.
Happy to be Welcome here, back. As always. Welcome back to you. Did you get the snow that we got?
It is snowing outside right now. It's not really accumulating that much, but the other night, what was it? It was over the weekend, I believe. It was like midnight, and I go, "What's that sound?" And I take my headphones off because I'm listening to music, and I hear this. It's thunder, and I go, "What the hell?" So I go outside, and next thing you know, my house is being attacked by hail. So it starts pouring hail, and it's lightning and thunder, and I go, "Wait a minute, is it January?" Yeah. So that was pretty crazy.
It was pretty wild because I said it was like 10:30 by us, and I look out the window and it's pouring and thundering, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. It's like raining sideways. I'm like, boy, are we lucky this isn't snow? Mm-hmm. Not knowing that it was about to be snow, and that when I wake up in the morning, there's like 8.5 inches of it on the bird feeder and on the ground. It was like, well,
yeah. Before it turned to snow, it was ice.
It was so. It was.
Looks pretty up there. So yeah, we're dealing with that. But man, that day of 55 degree weather, man, I was outside. I was sitting outside. I was like, yeah, I can't wait for this. And outside, checking out the mess I got to clean up in the springtime. So I've been looking forward to this show ever since I announced it. I booked it since last week. I always enjoy these type of shows because I consider our guest part of the old guard of WordPress businesses. And this was back in the 2006, 7, 8 timeframe where quite a few people became entrepreneurs in the WordPress landscape, whether that's plugins or themes. And his name is Brian Gardner, and he's the founder of Studio Press. He's also a Starbucks addict. If you ever see Brian Gardner out in the wild and he does not have a cup of Starbucks in his hand, that's a rare photo. it may be worth something. And he's also an accidental entrepreneur. We'll get into that here a little bit in the show. And Brian, thank you very much for being on the show. And just a little tidbit here. The last time you were on WordPress Weekly was March 7th, 2009, on episode 44.
That is criminal.
Yeah, so it's been a while, and I've been really wanting to have you back on the show. I'm glad we were able to do this, and welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Certainly a pleasure to be back on the show. Jeff, the one regret I have is not getting a chance to see you and talk to you a little more than our elevator, escalator, high five, knuckles on the way through. I got a few minutes with John there in Nashville on the street, and that was a pleasure. It's good to be here.
That was pretty much our pretty much. So I'm going up the escalator, and I go, well, look who it is. And Brian's like, hey, find me. Let's talk later. And that was the end of that. Next thing you know.
It's so easy at a conference like that to have such good intentions. I mean, I go there because I very specifically want to meet some people, but also to hang with the old people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you get trapped in a corner. You go out to lunch. Someone else is going somewhere else. They're leaving early. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, oh, man, there was 3 or 4 people I wish I would have spent more time with, or just totally went out of my way to find. It is what it is. And that's what the next conference is for. So
let's dive right into it. I know you've probably told this story a million times by now, but it sets the foundation for the conversations that we're going to have in the show. But let's go back to the beginning. How did you get started involved with WordPress, and tell us the origin of Studio Press?
So yeah, I have told the story a number of different times. It's usually always the same story. And thank you, John. Somebody caught that. Usually always the same story. It's a tall tale. It's like 12 years now. Things get more dramatic and over the time, back in the day, uphill, I used to walk in the snow on the way to school. So 2006, I guess, must have been 2007. I was a project manager at an architectural firm here in the Chicagoland area. I was behind a desk. Behind a computer, and I was crunching away numbers, doing takeoffs on architectural drawings and ordering material and all of that fun and exciting stuff. I did not go to school for that, but I was there, 8 or 9 years. And I was a writer and always have been a writer. And so back in that day, I wanted to start journaling and doing it online. And so like every dope back in the day was on Blogger and, you know, had a little personal blog going. And then one of my friends said, you know, you should check out this thing called WordPress. It's like Blogger, but you have a little more control. It's kind of cool. It seems like a better tool. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I didn't know anything. And so I started playing around with WordPress, figured out how to self-host WordPress, which means, you know, buy a domain, install the software. I went to, what is it, WPThemes.net was back in the day, the first kind of free theme repository. I downloaded a theme called Pool by Borja Fernandez. And then I opened it up and started playing around, which basically meant I didn't like the theme out of the box, but it looked like it was the closest to what I was hoping for. So I opened up CSS and I said, wow, don't know anything about what this is. So I, you know, had Google next to me and figured out how to do some things and tweak the front end and change some colors and fonts. And I thought, hey, this is kind of fun and cool. So I started blogging on WordPress. I think I had a couple of domains prior to Brian Gardner way back. But then when I was ultimately able to negotiate the BrianGardner.com domain, I switched it all over there, sort of started just writing quasi-personally, documenting a little bit of stuff I was doing with WordPress because I thought it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And so back in that day, TechnoReady was like the big blog engine thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it would be kind of fun to try to land in the top 100 for whatever that meant back in that day. And so I identified that if I were to create themes that were free and distribute them and give them away, people would put them on their site. And at that point, the link backs counted towards incoming links and all of that.
Right.
And through the distribution of that, I was able to land in the TechnoReady 100, which meant absolutely nothing back then, nor does it today. But it was a feather in some weird cap back then. And so I started doing, free themes and, you know, from time to time, people would write me and say, hey, I downloaded your theme. This is cool. Can you help me tweak a few colors? And yeah, $50, I'll, you know, update some stuff and change the styles and colors and stuff like that. And that sort of evolved into more of a full project freelance thing where, you know, basically at night and weekends and admittedly during my work hours, I would spend some time, charging clients $100 here, $200 there. It was really vacation money back in the day. Right. And, that sort of escalated, and
it kind of translated into, so you did this project or rejected design for a Boston real estate agent, and this sort of became the genesis of the genesis, so to speak, of the revolution theme for WordPress. Tell us a little bit about what was going through your mind when you published or wrote the article. How much would you pay for a premium WordPress theme?
Well, so the quick backstory to that article or the blog post was I, as one of the clients, a real estate agent from Boston, I honestly don't know, and I don't want to, maybe I'll do it here, the big unveiling. I've never released his name. I've never mentioned his name. He's always referred to as the Boston real estate guy. His name is Elad Bouchari, and there it is, folks. That's the secret. No one's ever been told that name. Anyway, so he asked me to do a real estate blog design. I did something which was ultimately the revolution theme. So it was a little bit beyond just blogging. Custom static homepage. Of course, everything was hard-coded inside of a home file, which of course we know now is icky bad. But that was the way we did it back then. And so I sent him the demo and he said, no, I just need a blog, man. This is way too much. It's cool. I love it, but it's just way too much. And so went back to the drawing board, whipped up a little theme for him. Sent that to him. And then I was left with what I thought was a quote masterpiece. And so I had a decent following on my blog. And so I thought, hey, you know, maybe I'll try to sell this and make a few bucks, you know, sell a couple and see what happens. So I went onto my blog. I said, how much would you pay for a premium WordPress theme, which in and of itself could have arguably been the beginning of that movement, right? The naming of it, who knows?
Right.
And I got hundreds of comments and I was like, whoa, okay. So I followed it up like every smart person who didn't know he was an entrepreneur at the time, I said, how much would you pay for one? You know, just to kind of get an idea. And the range was between 50 and 100, few outliers. And then I was like, okay, not having a business degree, I was still smart enough to realize there was some opportunity there. So when I packaged it up, I sold Revolution WordPress theme. First month sales, 10,000, second month, 20, 40, 80. And at month four, I went to my wife and I said, you know, I think there's something going on here. And I think it's financially irresponsible for me to stay at my job. We were trying to get her to go because we were going to have kids and she wanted to be the stay at home mom. And so I'm like, let me go first. You'll go second. Mm-hmm. So I left my job, started going full time. And then, you know, and then I think, I don't know, it was like a year, year and a half into all of the revolution thing. It iterated when it became Revolution 2, GPL conversations aside. Then I got a cease and desist letter from a company in the United Kingdom who was claiming that Revolution WordPress theme was conflicting and confusing to the to our market. And so I brought it to my intellectual property attorney lawyer and or, you know, copyright lawyer. And he says, yeah, you know, you could probably fight it, but they have a pretty good case. And I was like, oh, crap, right? What do I do?
Yeah, right.
And
right.
So, you know, I panicked. I was like, it's over. I quit my job. And now I'm, you know, whatever. He said, don't worry, man. He says, just find another name. And so I researched names. I was trying to come up with something that wouldn't limit me specifically to just WordPress or WordPress themes. Mm-hmm. Studio Press was available. I thought it was a great name. Mm-hmm. I was able to take over the domain. At the time, there was a free theme called Studio Press by Daniel Skoko from, he was like blogger dude way back in the day. I shot him a note. I said, hey, I want to rebrand this as Studio Press. I know you have a theme name that. Are we cool? Is this fine? Because I didn't want to go through this again.
Yeah, right.
And so, so I rebranded as Studio Press and, you know, realized then that when a community and tribe really believes in you and your product, they don't care what it's called.
Exactly.
Everyone came over and, you know, no bridges burnt and it was good. And that was sort of the birth of Studio Press.
Yep.
And you know, we have these moments in life where you look back and you think about, you know, sort of the actions that were taken, you know, the series of events that, that led you to where you are today. I mean, we look at Studio Press today, hugely successful. It's lasted all these years. Do you look back and do you think, you know, what was this just like destiny? Was this happenstance? Was it the right place at the right time? The right idea? Just the way everything was, the foundation, the way premium themes were in WordPress at that time. And I mean, or is it just, no, I don't know. I mean, what do you think of when you think back to when it all started?
So many years ago, there was a book about Max Levchin, the guy at PayPal, called Once Lucky, Twice Good. I think Sarah Lacey had something that was sort of similar. And it's always been something in the back of my mind that I've always thought of. You know, when you know, if you are successful at something once, maybe you're lucky, maybe you're not. If you do it a second time, then it proves that you're good, right? You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I have these conversations often. And almost every time I talk to Jason Schuler, who's a good friend of mine, Press 75, I just spoke with him last week for about an hour. We have these conversations where, because he sold Press 75 and he sort of entered that what's next for him and all of the, you know, things that he's kind of worked on since then. And when we talk about it, I'm like, were we just lucky? Were we at the right place at the right time? I think there's a ton of happenstance that happened. Mm-hmm. Was I the one guy who asked the right question at the right time with the right market and nothing but opportunity ahead of me? It's very possible. That probably helped the first year of success. And so I try not to beat myself up and think it was pure luck because, you know, a year later, iThemes, WooThemes, right. Ultimately, you know, like Theme Forest, you know, Jason's Press 75, Headway, Thesis, like, you know, within a couple of years, that space got really crowded really quickly. And the fact that we're having this conversation and Studio Press is around 10 years later, at least gives me the idea that it was more than luck. You know, luck brought me there, but it certainly didn't take me to where I'm at now.
We talked about that the last episode with Rachel, where even part of it too is with her and WordCampus, right? WP Campus, the whole idea with that. Part of it too is like having the vision, putting it out there going, hey, y'all, what do you think of this vision? And having everyone ping back, like, I guess you're the person who's going to run with this now. And so it's not like there weren't WordPress themes when you shipped Revolution. There were lots of themes, but there weren't themes that were going down the road, like a kind of a relatively traditional sort of business model of we will sell you a thing and then we will support the thing and you will be our customer now. That was sort of the beginning of that, which has obviously steamrolled into many other different places, plugins, themes, SaaS offerings, web hosting specific to WordPress, all of it. So like Automattic did a lot, but they didn't do what you did. It is, here's a product, buy the product, and then have this separate place to get your support that had nothing to do with WordPress.org or WordPress.com or anything else.
And it's fun looking back because I was there. I saw, I witnessed it. I guess I could say I was there for this historic moment. But, but the foundation, there was, I believe the WordPress theme directory was around. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But if it was, it was filled with themes that were just run-of-the-mill themes that, you know, I don't know. They weren't the best in terms of quality, probably themes that you probably wouldn't pay for. But then you see these themes called like Revolution, and it started this – it was sort of a craze going on. I read a post back in June of last year. I think it was on WP Zoom, sort of the history of the magazine theme or the magazine type layout. And when Revolution came out, it had this crisp, clean look with the banner in top of the header. You had your different widgets and your different layouts there, and it just sort of – took the WordPress world by storm. It was this entrant, this design, the style, the magazine theme. And next thing you know, magazine themes were everywhere you looked.
That's true. I remember when I first found the Revolution theme was because it had it was the first real WordPress theme that had a real navigation menu. As dumb as it sounds, it had the hierarchical suckerfishy style, way that drop down menus in a word in a website are supposed to be. And so there's when you talk about being in the right place in the right time and being good and being lucky, it's all of those things, because without the little feature that hooks people in, you don't go that way. And people saw menus, this is what I need. Nothing else has this. If I want this, I need this. And so everyone comes to Revolution, and Revolution's a killer name for
it
everything.
Was
because it meant exactly what you meant for it to mean, which is we are reinventing the way that WordPress themes are supposed to be and look and feel and be provided to users. It was all around those things.
Yeah, and I'm a huge proponent of branding and names, and it was very specific. Of course, I didn't know any better to look into the fact that there might be some competing software and all that, but Revolution and Genesis, which we can get to a little bit later, they were very, very carefully chosen because of the fact that I wanted them to signify just more than just a cool word. So,
So we come up to about 2009. I know 2010 was a huge year for you and for the business. There was this time, this period of time where the commercial theme shops that had developed something about this thing called GPL. And there was a lot of the discussion going around. And I know, was it WordCamp New York and WordCamp Boston? It was a hotly talked about subject. And there was this, I know in 2009, iThemes went 100% GPL. And there's all this talk about, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to go 100% GPL? And, do I have to worry about people stealing our work and stealing our designs or using it for free? And will my business crash? And I'm, looking back on it now with 2020 vision, I know you personally had conversations with Matt. I know you and I believe Jason traveled and had these some private conversations with Matt, but sort of looking back on it now, do you laugh about all the concerns you had? Because as far as I can tell, Studio Press is thriving, and going 100% GPL didn't crash your business.
Yeah, of course, I look back and I think it was all high school drama. And it was more than high school drama. But more than anything, I think what it really came down to at the core was just a confusion around, a subject matter, which is arguably gray, which really kind of breeds, it can go either way. So when Revolution was what it was, and technically, I guess, I don't even know if I knew it, but it was non-GPL because I was placing restrictions on the use of it and whatnot. And, I don't even think I went out of my way to proprietarily try to protect the IP of the designs and stuff like that. But, all stuff, I had no idea what was going on. And so when the GPL question came up, whether or not, are these themes GPL or not, and this or that, the only thing I thought of is I just quit my job. I'm making a ton of money, and this could potentially damage or derail that in a hole. And so you know, what, you know, as theme shops started to evolve, iThemes and Woo Themes, you know, in particular, because they were back in the day and Jason stuff at Press 75, you know, there was a part of me that's like, again, and I'm going to use this quote. I use this quote often. It's the whole Wayne Gretzky, you know, quote, a good hockey player goes to where the puck is, a great one goes to where it's going to be. And so I've always been trying to, not recklessly, mind you, I've always tried to like look further out to make decisions based on, you know, is this a decision that could potentially be game changing for good or bad, right? And so at the time when we were all trying to figure out what GPL was and are we breaking it and is Matt going to sue me? I mean, all these things were flying around my head. I thought to myself, you know, actually what it really came down to, and I remember this very specifically, Ian Stewart on Theme Shaper had a post about sort of the GPL stuff. And this was, and I've told Matt this in person too, Matt made a comment on that blog post that said, I will promote as best I can any theme that comes over GPL. And mm-hmm. It was that comment. I probably within minutes, I think I emailed him and said, hey, look, I'm willing to take my entire business model and shift it 100% GPL if you're willing to talk to me about this so I can understand what this kind of all is and means. And, you know, I wanted a little bit of sort of, I don't know, confirmation that I was making the right decision and that, you know, mm-hmm. It would be worth it for me. And so that's when I flew out to San Francisco, went to the Automatic headquarters, sat down and said, hey, look, you know, explain to me what's going on with GPL. What can I do to make this right so I can have your endorsement? Because at that point, you know, mm-hmm. the backing of Matt and WordPress to promote something that, you know, was going to be potentially not promoting other people, but specifically me, I thought that was a pretty good idea. And so that's when I flew out to San Francisco. We sat down, we talked about it. Shortly thereafter, Revolution at that point went 100% GPL. You know, then evolved to Studio Press and so on. And so, yeah, looking back, it was all drama. No one wants to go ahead.
No, and then I believe he announced the commercial GPL page on a theme directory at WordCamp Chicago.
Yeah, that is. And even prior to that, he had put a little banner up on the WordPress themed page at the time that went to the Revolution. We called it Revolution 2, which was sort of the GPL version of Revolution. And then, of course, went to Studio mm-hmm. Press. But, you know, there was some decent promotion, you know, and, of course, that led to a good relationship, which kind of carried through, you know, the formation of Genesis and the whole thesis debacle, mm-hmm. you know. And just the other day when we were down in Nashville, he reminded me how many licenses of Genesis he personally bought people who wanted to move off of thesis, which at That's the time right. was not GPL.
I forgot about that.
I remember awesome. hundreds, if not thousands, of copies of Genesis just to get that. People onto the GPL software. And you made yes. a joke about that as we were talking in Nashville, which I forgotten, but I didn't forget, you know?
Yeah, right. I completely forgot that was a thing. But it's funny how you sort of accidentally stumbled onto the way to make GPL licensing work for a business. Like, because there was no doubt that everyone jocked the Revolution style, the mm-hmm. approach, like the menus, the footer, the layout, the columns, the widgets, like everyone saw it, went, that's the way to do this, and then just plucked bits out of it. And so in a way you did the like Adobe thing where yeah. they knew people were stealing it, mm-hmm. but they knew people would come back around too. And so you have your core audience, people that are paying because they know it's the right thing to do and they need the support. You have the other people that maybe can't afford to, maybe don't get it yet. Maybe they're not where you are. They'll jock what they need to jock and then circle back around. And then in the long run, you did the best thing, GPL or not, but the GPL yeah. just worked for you. And now there are entire companies, ecosystems, cultures, and everything that rotate around the way that you've sort of started doing things in the first place is just really interesting.
Yeah. You know, I think back in the day, my hope was that I would debunk the myth that GPL was restrictive from an entrepreneurial standpoint. You know, right. yes, there's going to be people out there who set up, you know, WP steal all these themes.com and they put them all out there for free. And, yep. you know, there was a couple back in the day that really made me upset, but you know, I learned to get over that because if anything, it was free distribution, it was brand mm-hmm. exposure, it was whatever. And the people who go and steal that stuff or download, you know, they're not the type of person that really values their business or is going to come mm-hmm. And shop with you and get your support and stuff like that. So pretty quickly I was like, all right, whatever that, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to have haters, you're going to have thieves. It's going to happen. Right. You know, but my hope was that, you know, by going out to visit with Matt and to switching the business model over, that, you know, other people would see the safety in that, right? I was the guinea pig. I was either going to sink or swim by sort of making that decision. And I think when they saw, hey, Brian switched over, you know, 100% GPL, he's still making money, you know, blah, 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 you know, that it kind of was the safety net that some of these other companies like WooThemes and, you know, iThemes and Press 75 and so on, they felt, okay, it you know.
Well, and just that. The conversations and the clarity around the GPL and what it meant for themes and the code and the assets and the imagery and the design and what's the separation and what do you own and which part of it is open source and which part of it's your intellectual property that no one can copy, like having some clarity around that. It was, you know, rough and tumble for a year or two or three.
Oh, those were fun times.
It was fun times. I mean, well, for us, because our business, we were you know, worrying about, you know, the entire thing tanking because of it.
Okay.
But it was early days, even though it didn't feel necessarily like it was super early days, because at that point it had been 5 years worth of WordPress or more. So you know, it felt as mature of a platform as it could feel. But you look back on it now and go like, eh, we're figuring it out still. But now it's like a solved problem, really. I mean, it may be a different problem will come up later, but it's, if it wasn't for earning those lumps and that education and forcing the issue to clarify it, who knows where we would be with this stuff still fighting about it. I mean, little stuff comes up, but it's nice to have gotten that out of the way 10 years ago instead of today, I think.
Yeah, I miss all those page views with the GPL debates. I don't miss the comments, though.
Yeah, right.
So if we look at Studio Press, you know, a timeline of Studio Press, I would say, you know, from the outside looking in, one of the huge pivot points for the company, and this sort of ties into what was going on in the WordPress theme community in general, where everybody started to come up with their own frameworks, you know, this framework and that framework. And you talk and meet somebody by the name of Nathan Rice, who was so happened to be working on a framework at the time. And this was the Genesis, what became the Genesis framework, which to me was a huge pivot point for Studio Press and allowed you guys to really kind of cemented the future for you to stay relevant and innovate in the future. So tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
So prior to that, Studio Press was doing really well, and I was really, you know, excited with a lot of things. And, you know, at the time I looked up to Chris Pearson as sort of big brother. And so he and I would chat, and I would tell him all about how successful it was and how much money I was making and how great it was. And then all of a sudden Thesis came up. Right. And so, rule number one in business is keep your success sort of on the down low, because the more you tell people you're successful, the more they're going to come after you. And so I think that's sort of what happened, is I think he realized, just based on our conversation, just how frothy that market was. So he went out and created Thesis, which was arguably some design framework in a sense. And at the time I had, I don't know, five or six different Studio Press themes, all of which sort of share the same core code base, right? It was more cosmetic that was different. And so, you know, every time something would change in code, I'd have to apply it to all the themes. And at the time, Nathan was doing work with a good friend of mine, Corey, at iThemes. And so I told him, I said, if for whatever reason, I'm not poaching you, but if for whatever reason you end up looking for a job, let me know. Because I had sort of outsourced a little bit of development to him. And I said, I got some ideas. And, you know, if you ever find yourself unemployed, bring me up. So he called me up one day and he says, you know what, I'm leaving iThemes and I'm looking for something, and you told me to call you. And so we started talking, and I said, is there something we can build here that would be sort of a fundamental base code that we can sort of skin across the top? And, you know, I don't think we coined the term framework, but that's ultimately what it became. And so we started talking, I started hiring him, and we just started building Genesis, you know, taking the themes that I had, sort of extracting the code out of it, putting it into sort of a more scalable, updatable system. And then I, on the front side of that, started designing some of the themes and skinning or porting over the designs that I did have onto to Genesis. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Genesis, the naming of Genesis was very, very significant, because it was sort of our way of, you know, rebirthing, kind of reimagining what the beginning of this new thing is. And so we took us a while to build. Nathan is very methodical in his coding. And there was some conversations even in my own head where I'm like, dude, hurry up, let's ship this baby. You know, and nope, we got to build it right. We got to do it the right way, which I've always appreciated about him. And so we launched Genesis, the framework, which was sort of a direct competitor to Thesis, yes and no. That obviously then ultimately paved the way towards sort of the next big moment in sort of the Studio Press, my thing, which was the ultimate merge and combination of Studio Press into Copy Blogger. And so, you know, as we look back, lots of very important milestones sort of in my walk on the entrepreneurial side. That was absolutely one of them, probably one of the best decisions I made, if not the best entrepreneurial decision I made over the last 10 years.
That merger with Copy Blogger Media, I did not see that coming.
No one saw it coming because I don't think at the time anybody knew. And this was right. There was a Mixergy interview, which was between.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt, but by the way, it was Copy Blogger Media. So we're talking about Brian Clark, who at the time was a business partner with Chris Pearson at DIY Themes.
Yeah. And so, and I was, they saw them as a competitor. And prior to where I'm about to go, I had reached out to them and they had reached out to me. Studio Press was very seriously thinking about skinning our stuff to Thesis. I thought at the time, hey, Studio Press is going to create Thesis skins, which probably would have been the dumbest thing I've ever done. So, you know, a little bit goes, Chris and Matt have their conversation and clash on Andrew Warner's Mixergy interview where they talk about GPL thing. And from the outside, I realized that this is a potentially huge damaging thing in the land of DIY. I send Brian Clark an email sort of out of right field and say, I don't know what you're up to these days, but you might want to chime in because it seems like something's going to change for you.
So
they ultimately dissolved their relationship sort of behind the scenes. Not many people know. Brian Clark calls me and says, hey, I'm going to build a big company. I want to have like ultimately all of the tools. He had a bunch of joint ventures with people. Says, I want to work with you, partner with you in Studio Press. I want to bring you into the company and we want to build this big software package. And so five of us flew to Denver, maybe an hour into our conversation. None of us had ever really met each other before. We formed Copy Blogger Media. And, you know, a few months later, we announced sort of the official togetherness.
That's awesome. And Nathan and we may have met in person one time. I don't remember if we did, but I forget that he was at iThemes. And everyone's still friends, but back then it was like a tight group, right? And so it comes up a lot, myself personally, having worked at several companies and watching people go from like place to place, that that as a community, all of us are healthy, happy, maintaining happy trails. Like everyone, for the most part, is pretty copacetic about where you want to go, what your hopes and dreams are, what you choose to do, and how you come and go. And so, one, hello, Nathan, because you know he's like he's like someone that I only interact with online, like whenever we intersect. But like one of my favorite people, brilliant developer, so a good eye for you to pick someone like Nathan up, but. Who did you have on board besides Nathan when you hired him or brought him on? Did you have a team at that point? And how big did you eventually grow to be?
So back in those days, before the Copy Blogger merge, it was, Craig Teller was sort of my COO. He's the guy who kind of handled everything. He came up through our support forums. I just latched onto him sort of as a father figure, as a guy who knew a lot about marketing and really helped coach me on doing some things. Rebecca Diamond, she was the main support person back then. She came up through the forum, huge evangelist for Genesis. So I had hired, ultimately, they started out as contractors, but you know, Craig and Nathan and Rebecca were kind of like the original team. And as the Copy Blogger merge came, is around the time I met Rafal, who is lead designer of our company, and farmed out a design from him, identified he's a really, really good designer. And nobody knew who he was. And I thought it was a good opportunity. So I hired him. So it's kind of the four of us. And right around that time is when the Copy Blogger merge happened and everyone came over. Now, the interesting thing is, and not many people know this, but prior to the Copy Blogger merge, I was 10 days away from selling Studio Press.
Really?
to yes.
who?
That's my job. I should be asking that question.
You know, and I knew the answer to the question, but I, you know, felt like I had an obligation to ask.
Yeah, no one in the WordPress space, a software company out of Cincinnati is as far as I'll go. But we had been there a couple of times. They were interested in the space. They ultimately landed where the investors just said, you know, this is not really where we want to go with everything. And so 10 days away from when we were supposed to close and I would have gotten a 7-figure check, they pulled out. I wanted to jump off a cliff. And then very quickly, that's when Brian called and I said, okay, this makes a whole lot of sense for, you know, 600 different reasons. And so, yes. And so, not many people know that story because I was very emotional through that time.
This is why I love having these conversations because it, and you blog about it, you talk about it a lot and have a lot of experience with this, that these aren't new experiences. People start businesses and almost go bankrupt or think about absolving in relationships and partners, and people come and go all the time. But you've always been really open and transparent in a healthy way, I feel like, not just about business stuff, but like on your blog about the house or about family stuff or about how you're feeling about stuff and what you're into and what you want to do. And it really is like the spirit of what WordPress is all about. And I think part of that is, to wrap it all up kind of to the beginning, is how someone like yourself does get twice good, and is because you found a place where you fit in, where you were able to take everything that you already were and apply it with a bunch of people that were into the same exact thing. You just took it to a different level at a different place. And so I think there's just a lot that people have to learn from the experiences that you've had, because somewhere is a support forum somewhere where people are creeping up and they're helping somebody build their thing, and they may not know it, but they are a future employee to whatever it is that they're contributing to. So,
and to sort of tie on to that, you know, the Genesis framework, especially you folks created a cottage industry. I mean, there are there are agencies with tons of high level clients of sites built with the Genesis framework or a theme that was purchased on Genesis. And you guys have been you've managed to establish a huge community of loyal people. Yeah. And I'd like to know, from a business perspective, how have you been able to tap into that community, these loyal, passionate customers of yours to help further, whether that's products or business decisions or the future of the company?
So obviously with WordPress themes or Genesis or whatever, you got kind of have two different types of people. You've got people who use it for their blog and their website, and then you've got people who use it to help people get onto their blog or website, right? You got the bloggers, the writers, those types of people. And then there's sort of the developer community. And I don't necessarily think I sought that out, but you know, as Genesis grew and evolved and you know, people started to sort of identify like, hey, this really can help me quickly build a site. And because of the way the framework was set up and the theming system, you know, it very quickly evolved into sort of this community of designers and developers who built, you know, their projects, their, you know, the client work on top of Genesis, which is on top of WordPress. And so as a person who's always loved people and congregating and customer service, which I learned while I worked at a convenience store 20 years ago, like the importance of taking care of people and making them feel, you know, not just good, like, hey, I'll support you, but also good in the hey, my product is solid and it's going to be around a while, right? Because no one wants to build off of a product that then goes away. And so there's a degree of that you have to sort of purposely seek out with people, or as you're building products or your messaging or your support, you gotta be able to sort of show that you're going to withhold or withstand the, you know, just the outside stuff. And so, you know, years ago there were, you know, people who I would just, you know, the showcase was a big thing for us at Studio Press. People would send in, you know, links, hey, this is a site I built on Genesis, you know, would you put it on your showcase? And of course I was like, yeah, sure. It makes us look good. Like our stuff can be turned into that. What it does is it more importantly sends people, you know, potential people who are coming in, to these people, right? Hey, you're looking for work, you know, hey, hire this person or that person. And that sort of just evolved. And, you know, I very proudly, and just the Monday, did a tweet storm on kind of the last 10 years in a nutshell. And our community,
I'm looking at that tweet storm right now.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Yeah, yeah, the Genesis developer community, and I had such a fortunate encounter with them down in Nashville. We had a big get together. There's a picture on our Facebook page. Almost 100 people were there. It was crazy. And it reminds me just how impactful what the decisions I've made that I didn't even know were going to impact the lives of other people and enable them, as you say, John, to, you know, either they're solo freelance people who are doing design projects. There's companies like Brian and Jennifer Born, little agencies. There's even beyond that, you know, bigger folks who exclusively use Genesis. And that means the world to us because they're evangelists. They're helping, you know, a lot of times I'll see Brian Board, you know, put in a GitHub ticket because he kind of stumbled into a bug within Genesis that he needs to get fixed so that he can use it for his clients. And so it's such a back and forth relationship. You know, the community that we built is like probably the closest thing to my heart in all of this.
So like in Nashville, when you're, hold on, John, I want to ask this. So when you're in Nashville and you're with those developers and people are telling you about the businesses and the living that they've been able to make because of the decisions you've made and the products you have at your company, does that give you that warm, fuzzy feeling?
I will tell you that there's probably been at least three or four times we've had Genesis meetups where I've practically been on my knees in tears. The first time it happened was WordCamp San Francisco. We had a big get together with people. It happened again down in actually Circles Conference down in Texas a couple years ago. And then it happened again when we were in Nashville. But even prior to all of that, it's a story I want to tell because I want people to realize just the impact they can have on their tribe. Right. WordCamp Chicago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, a woman came over to me sort of in between sessions and she had a card and a rose and she says, "Hey Brian, I just want you, I introduce myself. I'm so-and-so. I recognize the name from correspondence." Like, "Oh, so glad to meet you. I'm glad you're here." That kind of thing. She said, "I flew in from Hawaii so that I can meet you and hand you this card because your business has allowed me to live my dream in Hawaii." And like, I was a mess. I'm like, you know, like it's great to hear like on a, you know, on a soapbox level, but I'm like, when you realize that you can make that much of a difference in the life of somebody else, that you enable them in the same way Matt has enabled me. I mean, I've told him countless times, "Thank you for doing WordPress because you allowed me to leave my boring job to create a life of, you know, of everything I would have dreamed of." And in that tweet storm, I said the same thing. 10 years I've been designing themes. I have never stopped loving it. It's such a good thing. And so like when you have those encounters with people and it gets worse when it's not just one-on-one, when you're standing up doing a speech to 100 people who are like listening to you, probably the same way Matt feels like when he gives State of the Word to thousands of people who ultimately are so thankful for him, it's humbling, you know, and the best thing you can do is enable these people and teach others how to do the same so that they can pay it forward to, you know, to the next level of people who are using their software, you know.
And I don't know if you remember this, but you personally contributed to my Indiegogo campaign. And so I'm thankful for, but the best thing that you can do that you did early on and that I'm learning, which I didn't know, is how to be generous in ways that still enable you to accomplish the things that you wanted to do. Like, yeah, you want to build themes. You have an eye for design. You make pretty things. But at the same time, you wanted something bigger and better, and you were able to build something and get something going to employ people, to build an ecosystem, to help others employ others, to just build and build and build something bigger and bigger. And so while there are other agencies or groups in the WordPress community that maybe have a reputation for like contributing to core constantly, or that they have lots of accolades and all sorts of for all over the place, that you personally and even the folks that you've hired go down in the history books, I think, for like a different reason. Not that there's not core contributions, but for really for skating to where the puck is going instead of just going to where it is today, which is why we're not going to talk about Gutenberg this week. We're going to skate.
Well, at least you said the word.
I'm going to flick that puck in the crowd. That one's out.
So it's always been great. And I, it reminded me that when we shipped the original BB Press plugin, we had like a Genesis specific hooks and stuff in it, so that because Genesis was such an enormous deal and you guys were using it for other stuff, and so everyone was contributing. Nathan was helping, and there lots of people were active with what we were doing BB Press back then, where we just pack it. This is easier. We'll eventually turn it into a plugin, but today we don't. We want this to work really great out of the box with Genesis. Yep. And so we packaged in all sorts of little things to make sure that it would work out of the box with BB Press. So Genesis is unique, but it's just great to see what it's become.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about the past, a lot about the past of Studio Press, and now there's Rainmaker Digital, and there's you guys have transformed into, was it digital marketing, web hosting, different platforms like the Rainmaker Digital. It's like an entire platform, and you've evolved into all these different areas online. And I just, over the years, you've been in this a while. What are some of the trends you've personally seen, both maybe just on the web or in general, or as it relates to WordPress? And maybe give us some insight into Studio Press within the next 2 to 3 years.
I want to ask a question before you answer. Okay. Was part of this, because this will help you parlay your answer into Jeff's questions, is where you're at now with Rainmaker part of Brian Clark's bigger vision for everything when you had that original meeting back then? Is this still executing points on where you're trying to go?
So conversely, Rainmaker, where it was that point where we were hoping to build sort of the
cool.
The software package that, you know, ultimately, you know, back when we merged, it was I had themes. We had some very important and patented SEO software with Scribe. We had education. Sonia Simone from our company, huge into education. And then, you know, we started the synthesis thing, which was the hosting thing. And as we built each of these things and whatever, we ultimately found the synthesis in all of it. And that's what Rainmaker became. We kind of packaged it all, and we wanted to present it to a specific demographic, sort of in and not necessarily in the WordPress space, but sort of in and out of the WordPress space, more in the internet marketing world and all that. And so for a while there, it sort of was what we were hoping it would be. And we realized, you know, over the last 2 years that there were limitations with what we wanted to do with it. You know, we were scaling pretty big as a company. We were growing so that we could continue to do stuff with Rainmaker. You know, and then we ultimately realized, you know, we just didn't, not that we couldn't, we just chose that we didn't want to really take that and compete in the same sense that it should be competed. And that's ultimately when we started having conversations, you know, maybe we need to kind of dial back a little bit. Maybe we need to kind of get back to good. And so we wanted to see Rainmaker do a very specific something, which is ultimately why we had conversations with the folks that we ended up partnering with and sort of splitting Rainmaker off of the company so that we could go back to focusing on the two things that we were really, really good at, which is writing about content marketing and selling to people in the copy blogger space, and then Studio Press. And that's when we ultimately, you know, 2 years ago started talking about Studio Press sites and wanting to really help and cater to the folks, because there was so much good about Rainmaker, but it was also very restrictive because of the type of clientele we were going after. And we had a lot of Genesis users who were like, hey, we like some of the things about Rainmaker. How do we do that on the WordPress level? And so we started talking about Studio Press sites. We wanted to take, you know, we have 250,000 customers for themes. We thought it was a pretty good opportunity, not necessarily to compete against the big hosting companies, but just to better serve the people who are already trusting us with their business. And so we developed Studio Press sites. And so right now, kind of for all intents and purposes, Copyblogger and Studio Press are like the two things back to, you know, the early days, really. And so we're kind of at that point.
I believe the company was a Copyblogger, Nimble Worldwide. It was a marketing company. It was a partnership.
Yeah, it's an agency down in Texas that they're going to take Rainmaker. There's a services division that's built around it. It's doing really, really well. Ed, the head of that division, and some of the folks that were with our company sort of moved over to that division, and that's evolving and growing and doing really well. And we're happy to see it be in that spot. We couldn't do it ourselves because we just had so many different things we were working on that it made sense to dial back, move that off a little bit to somebody who could take it, somebody who's been in the space, who's built billion-dollar companies and really take and serve a certain demographic, which allows us to kind of come back, regroup, and then really focus on sort of the grassroots of the evolution of all of it, right? And so so that's where we're at. So Studio Press Sites is sort of the current, like, where Studio Press and Genesis is headed. You know, we've partnered with some really, 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 really talented folks with kind of third-party plugins and being able to offer some stuff. And we're just going to continue to grow and cater to those folks who are, you know, lifestyle bloggers, internet marketers, affiliate marketers, and just kind of the general use of WordPress themes in that space, and just make better themes, you know, evolve as WordPress continues to evolve. Rafal has recently sort of come back from Rainmaker, the platform UI and design and development, back over to Studio Press. We've released have been designed by him. It's insanely awesome because he's such a good designer. And so that's sort of kind of where we're at. We're just following web trends, you know, trying to just, you know, we're on the year anniversary of Studio Press Sites, which is kind of a fun thing, because then you start to see some of the, you know, the payments come in, and, you know, for the second time around and stuff like that, which means folks are still on it. You know, we learned a lot about web hosting through Synthesis that we've applied. We've, you know, optimized it all for Genesis. And so it's really a good user experience.
Some of the things in your tweet storm that I found a bit fascinating, because you don't see these type of this type of information from a lot of people out there, is that you said even 10 years later, you have 250,000 customers and theme sales are still strong for the company. Does that, and you say it just shows how big the WordPress market is and will continue to be. Does, and there's a lot of companies out there, a lot of theme companies that started around the same time as Studio Press, where they've kind of transitioned into products, plugins, services, and and Studio Press has kind of evolved into different things with Copy Blogger and Studio Press Sites. But does that surprise you that theme sales are still this strong, or as strong as they are, considering that we have Template Monster and this continuous talk of how saturated the WordPress market is with themes?
It does and it doesn't. I, you know, even back in the day, even the early months, I was always like, well, this is going to last 6 months and then like everyone's going to stop, or everybody in the space will have already bought it and then there's no more money left. Right. And I, for 10 years, you know, have always worried, you know, are the walls going to come crashing down? Is this and that? And like, you know, Brian Clark would always remind me, he's like, dude, we're good, relax, chill out, we're fine. You know, and when we partnered, he said, look, I'm going to double your sales in 6 months. And we did it in three. So, you know, like, yes. Do I look back and think, you know, 10 years, you know, 8 figures worth of WordPress themes that I've been responsible for selling? Am I absolutely floored by that? Yes. You know, back to the lucky versus good. Yeah, I think there's a lot of strategy, a lot of good decisions I've made along the way. But just the fact that there's still, I mean, Genesis, strangely enough, I look at these, and this even floors me within all of that. Genesis itself, the framework, is still the number one selling theme on Studio Press. Like, there's still, it's still that popular, that many new people. There's like billions of people in the world. So I don't know why I ever really, you know, freaked out about that. But yeah, I, you know, it's still surprising to me that we've been able to withstand, you know, Copyblogger and the whole marketing machine that came with that merge, I think was probably from my perspective, like the biggest saving grace. Because, you know, as I told Brian back then, I'm like, look, aside from me wanting to do this because you're cool and I want to be with you and all of that, if I don't choose to do this with you, you're going to go partner with Grant at Headway and then bury me. You know, so part of that decision was, which I fully believe would have happened. And so part of that decision was defensively, I got to do this because if I don't, you're going to come after me and put me away. So, but aside from that, I took a lot of safety in, you know, Brian's been doing this for 10 years. He's built, like, he's so smart with marketing that I'm like, okay, this is in good hands, right? Because he's not going to let anything happen to him. I mean, slightly naive, yes, right? But just the fact that we're 10 years later and, you know, selling twice as many as the most I've ever sold prior to the merge floors me, you know. And of course, now that, you know, the recurring comes from Studio Press Sites, that's helped a little bit, because, you know, the reality is everything has always been one-time purchase only off the shelf, and that's what it's always been, right? We've never had a model, you know, and that's a whole conversation in and of itself, but, you know, we've never gone to the subscription model or the yearly model, and we always made the decision that Genesis and Studio Press was going to be like sort of the gateway into the Copyblogger world, and so it was always one-off sales. Studio Press Site has changed that and helped sort of bring in some recurring money, which is really, really good too. But yeah.
And before we wrap this all up, I wanted to mention now, those who follow me on Twitter have seen this, and it hasn't been the first time I published it, but it's one of my favorite photos I've ever taken. Just a random photo. I held up my phone and took a picture, and on the left, I believe it's Jason Shuler, and then there's Brian Garner, there's Corey Miller, there's Carl Hancock, and
Jacob Goldman's in that picture too.
Jacob Goldman is also in that picture, mm-hmm. and this was back, I believe, at WordCamp Boston 2010. And
Michael Torbert,
and mm-hmm. it's a fascinating picture to me because at that time there was so much going on. I mean, most of your guys' businesses were young. You guys were all discussing ideas, business plans. You know, Carl Hancock with the Rocket Genius and Gravity Forms, and Jason doing his thing, and you doing your thing, and you know, Jake with 10 Up and Corey Miller with iThemes, and we're all talking about the GPL, and there's a lot of GPL discussion that was going on throughout that weekend. But to me, because I was there and I witnessed it, and I know the importance of that picture, it's one of my favorite pictures. And every gentleman, every person in that picture, which was taken about 7 or 8 years ago, has been pretty darn successful in the WordPress space. Mm-hmm. And you guys all remain friends to this day, I believe.
You guys drank from the same like water fountain is what happened. Yeah. It's just like something special and everyone just flew out to the world. And
I mean, it's got to be pretty cool to be part of that group and then sort of look and view and see all those people that were there and how they've all sort of branched off to their own segments of the pie, their own, you know, largely piece branches of success. And they're still going too.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons I learned – sorry, John.
No, it's okay.
One of the biggest lessons I learned back in the high school drama days is that there's no room for that. There's no need for all of that. I think we were so threatened by each other and just things that were going on that, you know, at the drop of the hat, we were, you know, afraid our business was going to come crashing. And I think through ups and downs and some, you know, broken and repaired relationships, I think to some degree we realized this is such a huge ecosystem. We can all coexist, which really fostered sort of a sense of competition, you know, and, you know, it thrills me that even though I don't talk to them as much because everyone's gotten busy and had more responsibilities. They oversee more people. I mean, Corey and their folks down there, they're celebrating 10 years, which is so awesome. It's really good to sometimes just, you know, and I tweeted this the other day too. Sometimes you just got to just ping somebody and say, are you available to talk? Let's just hang out and talk 5-10 minutes, whatever. Because there was some really, really important relationships back in those days. And the trust that we had with each other back then was impenetrable. And so, you know, mm-hmm. as time evolved and competition and just people growing, you kind of lose some of that, which was why it was so important for me to get back to WordCamp US in Nashville, because I was able to get back to some of those relationships. You know, it had been years since I had seen Corey. Like, I just want to give you a hug. I want you to know that I still think about you. I want you to know that I'm proud of what you've built, you know, all of that type of stuff. And so, you know, I think when you're in community and competition with one another, and it sounds super cheesy and super hokey, and even the Genesis community itself, I mean, these developers, they're all competition with each other, right? Because they're all fighting for projects. And mm-hmm. the fact that I see them, you know, hugging each other and building into each other's businesses and helping each other out, like that mm-hmm. speaks volumes to the way sort of ecosystems should work, because really it's rising tide, right? You know, 1 + 1 will certainly equal 3. As long as you got two people who are legitimately good with good intentions, you know, mm-hmm. this person is going to teach that person and that person is going to teach this person. They're both going to rise up. And that's how ecosystems like Genesis or WordPress as a whole grow.
But the one thing that everyone in that photo had in common is that every single one of you, and I feel like I've known you for at least that long, if not longer, you are kind of like nonstop productive between like studio press and theme after theme after theme after theme after theme, cranking stuff out, no sidebar magazine, mergers, hiring, like support, your blogging, you're constantly writing, you're always up and doing something. It's not like there's Brian Gardner sits and watches 10 hours of Netflix every day time. At least the perception is that there is constant productivity. And so that's the one thing that, I mean, I think a lot of people in the WordPress community and stuff, that's why we all get along so well, is because there's lots of ideas and things going around and output all the time. It's not always good,
right?
But you can't stop. And so that's like the thing with that photo. When I saw Jeff tweet it the first time, was like everyone in that photo is just good at getting stuff done and getting everyone around them to be like, oh, I gotta keep up with Brian. Okay. All right. I guess I'll keep up with Jake somehow, maybe, you know, like it's, yeah. You guys do have that momentum and that sort of natural, naturally motivate others to like be better. Yeah,
you guys are in constant problem solving mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Always there's always going to be problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you one thing that's changed between 2010 and now is almost all those guys in that picture have families. They all have children now.
That too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's amazing how, you know, back in that time when we were all sort of single or married single without kids type of thing, it was easy to just work yourself to death. Right. And I think, you know, and Corey has done a brilliant job over the years, especially the last 4 or 5, talking about the iceberg analogy and how much life happens below the surface of the water. And as you have families and things, I won't say get complicated. They just, there's more competition for your time as a dad, as a husband, right, and whatever. And those, and that is like the biggest and most important part of being an entrepreneur is how to have work-life balance. And that's three shows in the future we can have, and just how important that is, because you can work, like John, what you were saying, yeah, we can always be moving. We can always be thinking and always be doing something. But if we're doing that sort of to elevate our business, but at the expense of all this other stuff, that's when mental health, and that's a whole other conversation. And I've gone through seasons of that. I probably could pinpoint 5 different seasons over the last 10 years where I've melted down, or I've had to back away, or I've kind of gone in seclusion because I've been working too hard. I've been producing too much. And I'm like, not only am I burnt out, but I just want to be a dad once in a while and not answering forum tickets at a baseball game and stuff like that. So that's also huge. And,
but it's, you know, it's hard to turn that off when the money is rolling in though.
It
like
is.
When our version of success is bigger and better and more, that when, especially when it's rewarding, like when it's rewarding, like the work that you're doing is rewarding. So like that's intrinsic, where you're just enjoying what you're doing. But when it's figuratively rewarding in your bank account, it's month over month over month, makes it really hard to ever say that what you're doing is wrong. And so you really do have to actively say, like, I am going for a run today and I am putting the dollars away. Like that takes a different type of willpower that I don't think that everyone is particularly born with. I think you have to really, it is a muscle that you have to exercise to say, like, I'm putting this away. I'm closing the laptop. I'm putting the Faraday cage. Everything goes in its place so that you can decompress. And I think it's different for everyone. Like you said, where some people are able to do that on Saturday and Sunday. Some people are able to do that after 5 p.m. Some people are able to do that from November until February. And then it depends on what you're working on and who you are and where you are in your life. And so,
Two points I want to make to that real quick. The first point, it becomes a lot easier to take time away as you grow and evolve as a company and have 40 people working for you and things like that, because then you've got mid-level management who are running things arguably better than you could. And that's the point that we had gotten to. You know, we were getting to a point where we had grown. We had Tony Clark in our company, brilliant in terms of company management, infrastructure, and all that kind of stuff, processes. And he built the company in a way where we, the partners, could back away a little bit. And everything was still going. And it was kind of weird to be like, hey, everyone's running the company and it's running fine. The other part of that is that sometimes I think we spin our wheels in the sense of we always feel like we have to be online doing something and whatever. And once in a while, I'm like, you know, I'm going to take an hour away from the computer. I'm going to go run. And the freedom and just the relaxation I get from that is going to make the next 2 hours after that more productive than if I would have spent 3 hours just doing nothing. And so there's discernment there that needs to be had when it comes down to.
You somehow managed to balance that in between like caffeine headaches, like your trips to Starbucks. You're like, you can sense it's coming on. You take a run, you go get a coffee. Like somehow you've balanced all those things out. I haven't gotten the timing right yet.
So. Yeah. But, you know, we all go through seasons because, you know, the early days I was working 80-hour weeks and it was nonstop and it was just me and it was all on me. And like you said, the money coming in was directly proportional to how much Brian Gardner was personally working. And, you know, the evolution and the growth and the merge to CopyBlogger really helped back me up a little bit to say, okay, there's bigger picture here. Obviously, way more to life than just making money. families and wives and kids and all that kind of stuff. And even individual, like I need a life outside of just what I do online. It's really hard to go after that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we're all a work in progress.
Yep. I agree.
Oh, man, this episode was everything I thought it was going to be and more. Brian, thank you so much for being on the show and giving us a bit of a history lesson on Studio Press, Genesis Revolution. I mean, there is a method to your madness. And, you know, I always thought, I'm like, wow, you know, you called it Genesis and it's sort of this thing. And now it's like, oh, now I know why you called it Genesis. Okay. Now it makes total sense. The whole revolution thing makes total sense now. It's like, wow, I should have known better. But thanks again for being on the show. Any last parting words? How can people follow you online? And are there any events that you're planning on being at, conferences?
So bunch of good questions there. First of which is, Jeff, please do not let 8 or 9 years go by to the next time I'm on the show. I'll be on as often as you want me to. Number two online, BrianGardner.com is a current iteration of my site. My new endeavor is called authentic.com with a K. It's all about helping creatives build an honest brand. That's sort of my new personal project. Very passionate about that type of thing. Those two things, follow me on Twitter, BGardner. Facebook, B Gardner, Instagram, B Gardner, No Sidebars, another side project, studiopress.com, obviously the mothership. That's where you can find me. In terms of parting words, just another shout out to everybody in the WordPress ecosystem who helped bring me to this place. You guys both in some capacity have that impact, and the hope that we can then turn that around to other people. Mm-hmm. And just very grateful, you know, just in a season of gratitude now where, you know, I get to see the fruits of my labor, the fruits of other people's labor. And, you know, if I can help in any way capacity, I try to be as approachable as I can be online. Twitter's the best place to engage in conversation. Just shout at me, say, hey, I got a question about WordPress or, you know, entrepreneur, anything. I love to try to help. And so I'm there for the taking.
Cool, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the show. And I'm going to take you up on that offer. I think it would be fascinating to have both you and Corey on, and we all get together and we talk about the work-life balance and those seasons and how you manage to get through those. And I think that would be a pretty darn interesting show. So we'll have to do that here in the near future.
And I think that we would both bring different elements to the table. I mean, we've had, for sure, you know, as almost, I felt like he was a brother back in the day. And so like we really helped throttle each other's businesses, and it might be a good fun throwback. And I think there's a lot of good conversation that can come out of that. So anytime.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Congrats with Studio Press and truck on, and can't wait to see what you do with Gutenberg. I had to throw that in there. What the hell? Oh, there you go. We had an epic, epic interview there with Brian Gardner and John, man.
That's awesome.
What did I tell you? I was psyched up for this show for a long time. I mean, what'd you think?
I could tell that you were enjoying yourself because there was no sneezing, there was no coughing. You were just fully engaged.
Well, so. I was coughing. I just had to put myself on mute. I always enjoy these type of nostalgic shows because I sort of look at, you know, the Corey Millers and the Brian Gardners and the Corey Hancocks and Carl Hancocks, you know, Rocket Genius. And I've been sort of like the bystander, sort of writing the stories that these people are creating, that they're generating, and sort of telling their stories on the tavern and sort of chronicling, you know, sort of like a history book as to what they're doing. So it's just kind of cool to talk to the people who were there, who were in the thick of things, who have these businesses and were making these decisions and these products throughout those time periods.
And to Brian's point, we have to talk to Brian more often because it's hard to do a 9 hour or 9 year summary in like an hour. We gotta make this a little bit more regular. But then there's like, how many episodes do we do in a year? 52, right? 50 if nobody's sick or anything. So
yeah, it depends. Yeah.
You know, it's
give or take 50, 30. I don't know.
50. So what you're saying is that you've talked to 450 people in between doing the math.
Just about.
Yeah, we had episodes total, right? So, you know, a couple of weeks off here and there, I guess.
Yeah. No, I swear, I thought I had you on the show when I did on when we did a commercial theme. It was like monetization. like a commercial theme roundtable on WordPress Weekly. I did some sort of series on making money in WordPress and themes. There's one on themes, plugins, and I think agencies. And Jake Goldman was actually my guest co-host for those three episodes. I thought
That doesn't sound familiar to me. So
I guess, Jeff, to answer your question, I enjoy every week all the time. I enjoyed I enjoyed last week with Rachel because I learned a whole bunch about something that I didn't really know a ton about. But I enjoy just kind of shooting the breeze with someone like Brian, who I feel like even if we don't talk for 5 years, that we're still have plenty to talk about and we're like always going to be cool. So I feel like every week is a good week, but I look forward to all of them.
All right. So I don't really have any news stories that really have come up that I really, most of all the things I've seen have been dealing with Gutenberg. I know that Pagely just announced that they now have, you can now install Let's Encrypt certificates instantly. And they do this. There's some new technology called Aries.
Aries is what it was. Aries.
I think that, you even on that note, I'm ducking out. Yeah.
Take it easy. Right, take Brian. It easy, Brian.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Brian.
Cheers.
No problem.
Thanks.
See ya.
I would assume it's Aries. I guess
Aries.
I would assume Aries. What do I know about words? But that's what I would assume. That looks super cool. When I saw them. I saw Josh tweet what this was and was instantly reading like the deep dive into what they all had to do to, this is an insane amount of work. It doesn't seem like it is because they've wrapped it all up in like a really easy, convenient kind of package. But I can only imagine that was an incredible amount of work. So it's cool to see.
I do have something I want to talk about. Sort of gone semi-viral, is, quote, I spend more time messing around with tools than I do actually doing work with the tool. Software development right now is really dumb. We broke it. So far, end quote, this tweet has 167 likes, 46 retweets, and 11 replies, and that to me is pretty much semi-viral. So do you want to have a little bit of time here. You want to give us a little bit more info like into achy, this tweet.
That's not viral. That's like an achy back. There's no virality there at all. But
my tweet got that much response. I'd say, yeah, I made it. I'm viral.
I don't know. Yeah,
you don't want to go viral, I don't think.
Dozens of people liked it. So, no. It was an interesting tweet because it's like, you know, Twitter ends up being my like blurt out of frustration zone. And then
I noticed.
And so then some of the responses I thought were really good. Like they were from it got retweeted out, and this is what I wish Twitter did a better job of revealing, like what the graph is. I want to see how many of my retweets are from people who I don't know, because I don't really have a good idea who the reach is until they reply. And so I got a few replies from people that are not even WordPress, PHP, JavaScript developers at all, where they were like, well, I don't really have that problem. What do you do that this is your life? And so then it forces me to take an inventory of like what the day's work means as a WordPress developer. And it's not particularly all that glamorous, like, to be honest. It's like the amount of tools and environments and things that have to happen procedurally to get code in a place where people want to actually review it or use it, or where it fits the standards that we expect for it to fit. And the standards change all the time is just really asinine right now. Like on any given day, if Vagrant breaks, if a container breaks, if a tool is broken, if a dependency is broken, if a dependency gets updated and break something, or there's software updates all the time, there's new versions of macOS every week at this point, it breaks Xcode, it breaks VVV, it breaks Vagrant, it breaks Docker. Like, it, in order to be safe, you kind of have to live on the edge. You don't want to run beta on a work machine, but the beta is the one that has the security fixes in it, so you're sort of forced to run the thing that you know you shouldn't, nothing ever works. Everything's kind of always cobbled together and broken. And for a really long time, it kind of wasn't this way. And I think that's what attracted me to software development in the first place, was that it wasn't like the real world where power lines are sagging and falling down all the time and utility poles are rotting and the roads are all terrible and the paint is peeling off of everything. The internet was like a bright, kind of nicer, shinier thing, but we ruined it with all of this, all of the tools and layers and really just the bureaucracy of like, it was just way too fun for too long. And so now we have to ruin it by inserting all of these like, nope, you can't do this until you lint the code perfectly this way, or the white space has to be this way. And there has to be a comma over here, even though that's ridiculous. And everything has to be written in this very specific format. So we're not going to accept your code change because you didn't do this other tool related thing that you didn't know about because it's deep in our contributing.md file that we put on our own GitLab that's not in the same GitHub repo because we put a compiled version of code over here and something else over there. It's just ridiculous because everything is different and impossible to navigate. And that's just how it is today. I don't think that's how it'll be tomorrow. I mean, you know, in the future. And but it's not good right now at all. And so
according to you, if today's software design was a cookie, it would be a cookies and cream Oreo.
It's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's cookie. It's a cookie that's flavored. It's a cookie with cream in it that's flavored like cookies with cream in it. It just, it's the most ridiculous. It's like taco flavored taco chips. Why do we need to have like tools to build the tools to make the tool to run the tools? Like, we're not building rocket ships and we're not launching code to the moon. We're saving things from a person into MySQL. This is the stuff that's been around for longer than I've been around. And so we have just made this really complicated rat's nest of just like coat hangers in a closet, and we just close the door. Every once in a while, you're able to get a hanger and put something on it, and it works. But otherwise, 9 times out of 10, you spend most of your time fighting to get the hangers out. And so the thing is, once you get it set up, once you get your containerized environment or your MAMP or your VVV or your roots or your whatever, once it's working, local, whatever it is, it's kind of okay for a little while. Until a software update comes out or someone recommends that you try something new or someone says, hey, you need to use this new version of PHP unit and that's only available in this branch of this thing. And so you have to run this over here. It's just every day.
So this actually segues. This actually segues into my pick of the week, which is it's a new toolkit. It's called Create Gutenblatt Toolkit, created by Ahmad Awais.
I like that you got me all riled up. You got me all excited just to transition over to your pick of the week. That's the only reason that you did that.
It's actually quite on the same lines. But he created this new toolkit. What it does, it substantially simplifies the creation of Gutenberg blocks by providing a no configuration setup. There's only one dependency and no lock-in. And he says that he created the toolkit after receiving feedback that configuring things like Webpack, React, ES6, 7, 8, Next, ESLint, Babel, and keeping up with their development was too difficult.
It is.
So he said that developers told me that they built Gutenberg blocks with ES5 because the amount of time required to configure, set up, and learn tools like Babel, Webpack, ESLint, Prettier, blah, 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 wasn't worth it. So he went ahead and built a zero config WordPress developers toolkit. And within 3 steps, you get everything set up that you need and you can create and edit your Gutenberg blocks. There's only one dependency. They manage all the updates for you. Oh, man.
I got through
the whole show without coughing and now I'm coughing.
So it's a good, I'll let you cough. It's a good reason the best reason that this is your pick of the week is that it is perfect timing for him to release this now the way it is. Because if you wait too long for a tool like this, it's not, you end up with like the jQuery UI website. Like, when you think of what the jQuery UI was, I don't know if it's still around, because I haven't used it in a really long time, which kind of makes me sad for, like, you know, the technorates and all the cool stuff that's come and gone. But the jQuery UI website would let you build and compile all of the fun, cool, awesome bits of jQuery with icons and CSS, and it would just do all of the work of giving you the type of jQuery UI related thing that you needed. Do you need a date picker, but nothing else? Do you need a date picker and a time picker and a slider? Here, done. It would just do all of the work. You just check what you want, and then the website gave you the version that you wanted with all of the assets included in it. And so in the beginning, that was incredibly cool. But in the end, everyone goes, oh, well, I don't really even need any of that. I need all of jQuery. And so I only need this piece, but I might need that piece. And so the timing for the Gutenberg, what did he call it? The Guten
block? It's called Create Guten Block.
Create Guten Block. It's perfect timing for this, because the world of people that are trying to make Gutenberg blocks just don't want to have to worry about Webpack, React, all the stuff. There's just too much stuff right now. So handling those little implementation details for people is a job well done. And eventually, though, people will take it for granted, and then there will need to be a newer, different thing. But right now, the timing is perfect. So
the project has actually received quite a lot of good feedback. A lot of people have picked up on it. It's trending. It was trending on actual GitHub for new JavaScript-type libraries. Gary Pendergast, who's a lead developer on Gutenberg, gave him mad props for it. He says he's excited about the possibilities for this. Tammy commented on it as well. Yep. Somebody had actually already tried. Said they had a block within a minute, which is what it's all about. I mean, once you do like three steps after you install NPM, it creates a block for you and creates the folder structure and takes care of all that for you. So it's licensed under the MIT.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know how to install NPM?
No.
And so
I think it's, what's the stamp for something? Node P something manager. You got to do it in the command line. I've never messed with none of that.
So the number of steps it takes to go into terminal, figure out where it's going to go, figure out what you have to type, figure out where it's going and what it's doing and pulling back down, where it's going to live, how to set it up. It's like the work that happens when you're just like, oh, install NPM, da 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 da. It literally goes out and does like 5,000 things for you, like instantly. And so it's crazy, but it's just so fragile. And so his solution, taking all the fragile bits and it's saying, okay, if you can get this far, it's only one more step. You literally have to do nothing. Those are the kind of implementations that like Paul Gibbs and I and Boone have talked about for BuddyPress stuff many, many times. It's just, and with the WooCommerce and others have done really, really well. It's just figure out what problem it is you're trying to solve and then just make it as simple and as possible to implement all those things like one or two clicks at a time. Good pick of the week.
So he's got, you can get it on GitHub. We've linked to it on wptavern.com. He's already working on a checklist of things he'd like to get included in 2.0. And he's really encouraging any developers out there, if you're able to contribute back to the project. So it's continue working on it, and it could be an awesome resource to the WordPress community. And that's going to do it for, unless you've got anything else you want to talk about, that's going to do it for this episode. Okay, go ahead.
Only one thing that I'll add, which I will feel the collective groan from all of our listeners, is that January 12th of this year, was National NetBeans Day. NetBeans Day in Montreal, so we missed it. But my pick of the week is NetBeans, is the IDE that I have used very lovingly since graduating from Notepad++ on a Windows laptop in 2007 or 6 or whatever it would have been. And congratulating a team that has had an open source a very good code editor for not just PHP, Java, and other things too, but there it's an open source piece of software. It's they have a thriving community of contributors. I think they're recently going through the process of like switching to Apache, like Apache licensing. I'm not sure. I have to should probably look into it a little bit more.
Well, but, do you know what today is? You know what today is? I'm not going to miss today. Today is National Peanut Butter Day. Oh. So at some point today, I will eat peanut butter.
Oh, National Peanut, like a PB&J? What's your go-to?
Peanut this butter.
Just peanut butter.
Yeah, just National Peanut Butter Day. So today I will celebrate.
Just a scoop of peanut butter out of the jar?
I will look in the cupboard, see if we have any peanut butter. First off, we should have some.
Do you paw at it like Winnie the Pooh? Just put
No, I don't paw at it. I use a spoon. Spoon is the ultimate peanut butter device.
I agree.
But, you know, back in the day, I used to goober peanut butter and jelly. Boy, that, you know, for the ultimate lazy in us, you know, have peanut butter and jelly mixed in one jar.
Do you remember, like, is it like the squeeze jar where it was like a half and half? Or was it just all goop?
No, it's an actual jar with, and there is peanut butter, it was like swirled.
Huh. I mean,
where you had like a swirl of peanut butter and then a swirl of, kind of looked like a peppermint. You know, that kind of swirl, and one's peanut butter and one's jelly. So you get the best of both worlds in one jar, called goober. They still sell it.
Really? Wow. It's just like, I'm learning. I learned so much just being
it's
on
like
the show.
It's like they have peanut butter puff cereal. I mean, who would have thought that would have happened? Mm. You know, but I was always a big fan of Captain Crunch, the peanut butter version of Captain Crunch.
I like that too, aside from the, you know, the stereotypical chewing up all of your gums.
Actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. My mouth always hurt after eating that cereal.
Do you remember Waffle Crisp? Did you ever eat that?
Yes,
that was good too. You just eat that right out of the box. That was me, like Winnie the Pooh.
I was a big fan of Honeycomb.
Oh, Honeycomb, yeah.
Okay,
and now you realize it's all just poison. Like, it's all just really, really, really not good for you.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Cereal Weekly. I don't have any guests planned for next week, but that that could change. God, I got this nasty cough still. So I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Thank you all for listening. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at JeffroFFR0. apologies.
At JJJ on GitHub and Twitter. JJJ.blog.
So people in radio have a cough button, and I've been using it the whole show, but it's been sneaking up on me. Cough's getting to me a little bit. So we'll be back next Wednesday afternoon with or without a guest. And if we don't have a guest, I'm sure there will be stuffs to talk about. And by the way, I'm going to be working on, in February. In February, I'm going to work to get Mark Benzekine on the show.
Awesome.
Catch up with him and see what's going on in his life and desktop server. And I'm still working on the WordPress Media Library Roundtable. So that'd be a pretty good show as well. Some things we're working on. Until then, everybody enjoy the rest of your week and stay jacked. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.